The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
This is a test of the emergency podcast system.
It is a true emergency.
Quick, run. We love aliens.
It's not rude. It's science. Just do it.
Welcome to Mystery Team Inc.
We're in. Hello.
Welcome to a very Grindmas special.
Welcome to a very mystery Christmas. Merry Grindmas.
Merry Grimbers.
Happy Grimbas.
It never gets less funny.
We're very happy to be recording this very mystery Christmas. On Impeachment Day!
Merry Impeachment Day, one and all. What is that saying?
God impeach us, everyone. I think is what you're thinking of. Or are you thinking of, hey, boy, you there, what day is it?
Why, it's Impeachment Day, sir.
Which is also from A Christmas Carol.
I was thinking of the first one.
Oh, okay.
God impeach us, everyone.
Yep. So, happy Impeachment Day.
Merry Grimbas.
The pundits are saying that it's not likely that once it goes to Senate trial that he will be convicted. It's never happened before.
My dad also thinks that, and he knows everything.
But I think we should celebrate the hope that was created this day.
I think we should also just celebrate that, like, he was impeached.
Yeah, I agree.
We don't have to... This is what I was saying earlier. Let's take 10 hours and revel in the glory of today.
Yes.
And then tomorrow we'll worry about
pick up arms and fight again. A couple of business.
The pause.
Just a couple of business. One is, this is a series wrap on Tanya.
Oh.
So
Tanya,
today,
in case you're new, is my computer, who is 10 years old. She had a screener of iTanya that did not belong to me.
Stuck in her
for 2.5 years, which is how she got her name. And then one day she spat it out, and it's been downhill ever since.
Tanya. And she's been with us every episode, although she's never technically done anything. She doesn't really,
no,
we don't record on her.
She recorded the first one.
Oh, she did. Yeah. She recorded the very first episode, which has never gone live. Bless you.
Phew! So, I'm allergic to saying goodbyes.
So, goodbye to Tanya.
Goodbye, Tanya. It's been a wild ride, and I don't know if I can say I'll miss you, but we certainly did a lot together. She got me through college.
Mm-hmm.
Technically, I got through college.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh. A lot of breakups.
A
lot of Googling, like, how to get over a breakup. That's all me and Tanya.
I wish we could play a montage.
I know.
In the arms of the angel. And it's like an in memoriam from the Oscars, but it's just you Googling how to get over a breakup like, on Tanya.
But it's just a different date
in
the corner.
It's just you, like, killing Sims and, like, researching mysteries.
World of Warcraft.
Second business is we have a shout out. We have a new listener who Thinquarium met. I think it was Thinquarium.
We're quite sure.
And Thinquarium was wearing our shirt designed by Jenny. And our new friend Stefan saw it and was like, what is that? And so he introduced him to the podcast. Stefan wrote us a really cool email, which we really appreciated. He compared us to Abby and Alana, which is, like, the dream.
That's literally our, like, career goal.
Yeah. So, shout out to our new listener, Stefan. We appreciate you. We got lots more outer space stuff coming your way.
Oh, yeah.
But today, I think that's all my business. And then we can talk about what we're doing today. Oh, my last business was, speaking of shirts, we have merch.
Yes.
So, you can go to mysteryteaminc.com/store and check out our merch on our website.
It's all shiny, brand new, and lovely.
Do you have any almost said mysteries. Do you have any mysteries?
No, Tanya was my only business.
Okay, great. Do you want to go first or do I go first?
Who went first last time?
You're right.
Oh, you went first last time because I made you think about space.
That's fair. Do you want to go first?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. So, today for our Grimbis episode, I am doing Sinterklaas and Zwarte Piet. Which is, okay. So, Sinterklaas is the Dutch Santa Claus. He's based on St. Nicholas, who is the former Bishop of Turkey.
Oh, I thought he was part of the... Oh, well, I guess it was the Roman Empire back then, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the patron saint of children, among other things. In Holland, they have what is called the Feast of Sinterklaas, which they celebrate on December 6th. In the Netherlands, they give gifts on December 5th at night, like on their Christmas Eve. And then in Belgium and Luxembourg, they do it on the morning of December 6th. Sinterklaas is depicted as an elderly, stately, and serious man with white hair and a long beard. He is dressed as a bishop, and he has the big bishop's hat. I have pictures of my Dutch grandfather dressed as Sinterklaas, which is, if I'm not wrong, he met my grandmother dressed as Sinterklaas, which is so Dutch. Handle it. He traditionally rides a white horse. In the Netherlands, the horse was called Amerigo, but then in 2019, Amerigo was killed off, canonically. Yes.
Why? Because they're mad at the Amerigos?
I don't know. I couldn't find any information on why. I just found out that he was quote-unquote pensioned.
Okay.
But they killed it off. And then they replaced that horse with a new horse called Ozo Snell, which means oh so fast, which is in a well-known Sinterklaas song. Okay. So R.I.P. Amerigo. He carries a big red book, like Santa's list, that has...
Wow, he bound it.
Yeah, it's bound.
He's a fancy Santa.
Yeah.
Fanta. Fanta.
My favorite thing about Sinterklaas is that he is canonically celibate.
Great.
Like, that's part of the lore.
Great.
There are, like...
Because Santa Claus is married.
Full-on married. But they don't have kids, so we don't know if they fuck.
Mm-hmm.
There are holiday...
They could have, and I actually like this better, like a really sweet asexual marriage.
Aww.
Where they just decided to grow old together because they love each other.
Or they could be very, very particular about birth control.
That's true. And highly sexual.
And also, they're quite old.
Yeah.
So...
Old people have sex.
I know, but she probably can't get pregnant.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Mrs. Claus probably went through menopause. Do you think
they met after menopause?
It really depends on how old you think young? Santa Claus is.
Does
he, like, Yoda age? Like, is he 1,000 years old?
I think probably.
And they met when they were, like, 200, but that's the human equivalent of being, like, 25.
Maybe.
It's canon.
I think they met right before he went off to serve in World War I, and...
and she waited
in
the North Pole.
Yes.
So there are holiday carols that are entirely about the fact that Sinterklaas is a virgin. There's one called Sinterklaas Kapontier, I think is how you pronounce it, which translates to Sinterklaas, you castrated rooster. Yes. That is a song that children sing around the holidays.
Santa Claus, you no dick cock.
No dick cock. Originally, he was supposed to be Dutch, and then someone wrote a song about him going to Spain to get oranges.
I thought you were going to say space.
No, that would make more sense.
I was so ready. This podcast has completely warped my mind. You were like, originally he was from Holland, but then someone wrote a song about him being from space, and now it's canon that he's reptilian and celibate. Reptilian Santa Claus. Oh no, did we just invent reptilian Santa?
I guarantee you Santa Claus is a reptilian.
But do you think there's like fan art of a reptilian in like
now
a Santa
Now that you've said
outfit?
It out loud, there is fan art porn.
In Rule 33.
Yeah, you did it. It's your fault. So someone wrote a song about him going to Spain to get oranges. And
that's somehow less weird, but it's not.
It's weird.
Yeah.
Why? And from where? Like,
Spain.
And the so the songwriter didn't know what oranges were because they hadn't really like been disseminated throughout the world yet. So he called them orange colored apples, and everyone just got so confused by the orange colored apples deal that they didn't realize that Sinterklaas was supposed to be visiting Spain in the song. So then they were like, oh, he's from Spain, obviously.
I love this.
I know, it just gets worse.
Because that's where Black Peter comes from, doesn't
he? Oh, yeah,
he?
We're okay, about to get
I'm
there.
I'm excited.
So, originally, it was just one Black Peter.
Yes.
Now, it's any number of Black Peters.
Sure.
David Sedaris has this really wonderful essay in one of his books called 6 to 8 Black Men that is about him learning about Black Peter. And he says, like, every time I asked a Dutch person how many Black Peters there were, they said 6 to 8. And he was like, okay, but like, how many? And they were like, 6 to 8.
30 to 50 feral hogs.
Exactly. So Sinterklaas is assisted by either one or a group of or 6 to 8 Zwarte Piets or Black Pete, who are slaves who are Moors or Amor from Spain.
He's, let's see, we are 11 minutes in. It only took us 11 minutes to get to the racism this time.
Oh, yeah. No, it's super quick.
If you include talking about the president, we were like 1 minute in.
Oh, yeah. Well, but, no, we can't count that.
Okay.
Okay, so 11 minutes in, we got to the racism. Mm-hmm. And it just gets worse.
6 to 11 minutes in.
Okay. So he wears, I don't know, how do I describe this?
Blackface.
That's not even, we got to start with the clothes. So he wears like super colorful, like, it's like if you were doing like a spring summer line and you were doing like if 16th century nobles met like Shakespearean jesters.
Oh, okay.
It's like they have like the big white ruff around the neck and it's like buttoned down in like two different, like one side is one color and one side is the other. And there's like poofy sleeves.
Oh, okay.
So that, and then he wears like one of those like poofy caps that kind of look like a sleep bonnet that you wear to protect your hair at night. With a feather in it.
Okay.
Bad.
Yeah.
He is typically depicted carrying, like, a canvas bag that has candy for the children. And then they, like, throw the candy to the children.
Mm-hmm.
Behind Sinterklaas, obviously behind. Which supposedly comes from a story of St. Nicholas saving 3 young girls from sex work by tossing golden coins through their window at night to pay their dowries.
Huh.
That's the only information that exists about that.
Okay.
Black Peter also carries a chimney sweep broom made from willow branches that he uses to beat children.
Mm-hmm.
Some stories say that if a child is particularly naughty, he will just put them in the sack and take them back to Spain.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody knows what happens to them in Spain. All they know is that they don't come back.
Right. It's crazy the similarities between your story and my story.
We'll talk about that later.
We will.
So over the years, so originally Black Peter was like this like bumbling, unintelligent, like minstrel show of a person.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of developed so that he was like the smart helper, and the St. Nicholas or Sinterklaas was like kind of absent-minded and like benevolent and couldn't really get anything done. In very modern times, there are like lots of different Black Peters. So we have the head Pete, who is called Hoofed Pete. There's a navigation Pete, who's Wegwegspiet.
I hate to say this, but and it's not my fault it's racist, but it's starting to sound like Smurfs.
It is.
Okay. Or like the dwarves.
Yep.
There's like a Sleepy Pete.
Yeah. Grumpy Pete. Yeah. So Navigation Pete drives...
Girl Pete.
And Old Pete.
And Old Pete.
Navigation Pete drives the steamboat, which we'll get to.
You can't just throw the steamboat out there like that.
There's Presents Pete, Pakjes Pete, who wraps all the gifts. And then there's Acrobatic Pete, who climbs the roofs and chimneys.
That's a dope job.
I know. So traditionally, Black Pete's face is black because he's a black person. But now people are like, nuh-uh, it's soot.
Oh, no.
And we're like,
from coming down the chimney?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
All over him. Some people say that the first appearance of Black Pete as, like, the entity that he is now was in an 1850 book called Int Nicolas en Jean Necht, which is Saint Nicholas and his servant slash apprentice.
Okay.
Which was published by an Amsterdam school teacher named Jan Schenkman. But the tradition of Saint Nicholas having a, like, dark, mm-hmm. quote-unquote, assistant goes back really far. Some historians have linked Black Peter to the Norse legend of the Wild Hunt of Odin.
Wow.
Where Odin... Odin would ride his white horse Sleipnir and fly through the air.
What is its name?
Sleipnir.
Okay.
And he would fly through the air as the leader of the wild hunt, and he was accompanied by two ravens named Hugin and Munin, who would listen at the chimneys of homes and then go back to Odin and be like, that one's bad and that one's good.
Wow. Yeah. I kind of love that.
I know. I'm obsessed with them. And then another source that I found says that once Christianity, like, started to take over and they wanted to get rid of paganism, mm-hmm. they were like, what about this guy, Saint Nicholas? And then they just took Black Pete from paganism. Mm-hmm. I couldn't find what Black Pete was in paganism, okay. but that is a theory.
Yes.
another thought is, in medieval iconography, Saint Nicholas was assisted by Satan. Mm-hmm. And there are, like, pictures of him taming Satan and chaining him up. Mm-hmm. And so then people started to get uncomfortable telling children that Satan was Santa Claus's slave.
Yeah.
So they were like...
For obvious reasons.
So they were like, it's a slave instead.
Oh. It's like a black person. They just made it.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. So a little history about the feast, because the whole celebration is so bananas.
Yeah.
So
I want to get back to the steamboat.
It's coming. The okay. steamboat is coming. So the Sinterklaas feast.
Sure it is.
Okay. So Sinterklaas feast arose during the Middle Ages. And it was at that time, it was like first seen as an occasion to help the poor. And they would like go, people would go around and like put money in their shoes. And it was also like basically Middle Ages carnival. This source says that often led to costumes, a topsy-turvy overturning of daily rules, and mass public drunkenness.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds fun.
Yeah, I'm here for it.
And in early tradition, students would elect one of their classmates as bishop on St. Nicholas Day, and they would just get to rule until December 28th.
That's amazing.
I know.
I want to do that.
I know.
It's probably just a popularity contest, though.
Oh, for sure.
It's not, like, based on policy.
Policy means nothing. It's just that one kid who's really good at chess is like, none of this has anything to do with policy. I would have gotten rid of homework.
And the kid who's been elected Saint Nick is like, chocolate.
More chocolate. So then.
Chocolate for everybody.
Okay. When I'm elected bishop, I say chocolate for everybody. Except for my opponent.
That's not fair, and it's not a solid policy.
But the implementation of this is going to be incredibly difficult.
Do you want a quarter one bishop or a bishop forever?
Quarter one bishop. Okay, so then, during the Reformation, in the 16th and 17th centuries, the Protestant reformers changed the idea of the saint gift bringer to the Christ child, and they moved the date for giving presents from St. Nicholas's birthday to Christmas. Certain municipalities forbade St. Nicholas festivities completely. And then once the Protestants successfully revolted against the Roman Catholic Church and then the Dutch Republic became independent, they were officially like, no Catholic celebrations whatsoever. But then people were like, except we're still gonna fucking do it because it's fun as shit. So it never really went away. And then in the 19th
century... I can't believe the Catholics tried to cancel Christmas.
Well, they made Christmas by canceling Christmas.
I know, that's not fair.
I know. Because that Christmas is way more fun and weird.
Yeah.
So then in the 19th century, they, like, secularized the St. Nicholas Festival. And then that 1850 book came out with Black Peter. And that book introduced the, like, reintroduced Sinterklaas delivering presents through the chimney and riding on his horse and the steamboat you're going to learn about. So here's what happens in the fall and winter in the Netherlands. The first Saturday after November 11th, one seaport, I don't know how they pick it, but it's a different seaport every year, throws a parade to welcome Sinterklaas, who arrives on a steamboat, quote unquote, from Spain. So a real steamboat pulls up into this seaport, and then Sinterklaas and his 6 to 8 Black Peters get off the boat, and Sinterklaas gets onto his horse, and then there's, like, a full parade. And everyone's just like, yes. And the 6 to 8 Black men walk behind him, and they give out candy and gingerbread cookies, and the event is broadcast on national television.
I'm here for it.
Yes, it's bananas. And then after the official arrival is over, towns have their own arrival. And in places that are landlocked, Sinterklaas arrives via a train or a horse or, like, a horse-drawn carriage.
That's crazy. In America, we do normal stuff like celebrate us genociding an entire people on Thanksgiving by blowing up giant balloons of Peanuts characters and walking them down the, like, the busiest streets in New York.
Yeah. I don't know normal. What they're doing with a steamboat.
What is this steamboat bullshit?
And they're just giving out candy?
No.
Ridiculous.
Oh, did I mention the whole thing is sponsored by a failing department store? Because that seems important, too. And I cannot wait for, like, 1,000 years from now when the planet is definitely still here and anthropologists are trying to uncover the origin of, like, Macy's Claus Day.
Yeah.
And they're like, it seems like...
No one
like...
really knows where Underdog came from.
Oh my God. I love the idea of, like, a post-apocalyptic future civilization that thinks that Thanksgiving and Christmas, it's like... Woodstock is our Jesus baby, and, like, the Macy's Day Parade is, like, our cultural holiday.
It's our Sinterklaas parade.
No one knows where Woodstock originated.
Oh, God. Yeah. That's going to be... I can't wait for them to figure out that we're all just idiots.
Yeah.
So, in the weeks between his arrival on the steamboat from Spain... And December 5th, Sinterklaas goes around and visits, like, schools and hospitals and, like, makes small appearances. And then...
And charges a small appearance fee.
It's just a small appearance fee. And then the lore is that he rides around with his Black Peters at night. He rides around on the rooftops on his horse and they listen in and they see if you're being naughty.
And then he goes, ho, ho, ho. Get 25% off your first order of MeUndies by using my code NICK20.
No, he's a serious man.
Oh.
That's why my grandfather got to play him.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was a serious man. So then, on December 5th, the children. This is a direct quote from an article because I thought it was really funny. On December 5th, the children get ready for the magical moment when Sinterklaas and his Black Peets will sneak into their homes and leave them prisoners. So the tradition is you leave your shoes out by whatever heating device exists.
Oh.
Yeah. So fireplace or radiator or even central heating.
Mm-hmm.
You know how in America we leave out milk and cookies?
Mm-hmm.
For Sinterklaas, they leave out coffee and poetry.
Oh.
Yeah. They leave hay and carrots for his horse, and for the Black Peets, they leave alcohol.
Nice.
It's such a big part of the Black Peet character that there are brands of beer in Holland that are called, like, Black Peet, and the labels are just, like, a man in blackface getting drunk.
Got it. I like that because I imagine that the dads have to be both.
Drink.
So they
get coffee.
They do the coffee and the poetry, and then they chug the beer.
Mm-hmm. So traditionally, what supposedly happens is Black Pete scales the wall of your house.
No.
And then, and Sinterklaas rides his horse up. I don't know how. And then Black Pete sneaks down your chimney and goes through your shit to see if you have any extra liquor. And then they leave the presents.
You know how that got started, right? Because
one dad
rifled through the liquor cabinet.
And he was like, it
was Black Pete.
It was Black Pete.
He does that. It's because you didn't leave anything out for him, Sharon. He looks through your shit to see if you got
alcohol. Let's do a Dutch name.
No, I like it better.
Magda. That's my aunt's name. Mm. So, it's common. I wrote not uncommon, but it is common for parents to hire someone to play Black Pete and come to their house on December 5th. Or have a neighbor dress up as Black Pete and, like, leave presents outside the door and, like, knock on the door and then, like, wait for the kids to open the door and then, like, be running just out of sight as they open the door, which is so creepy but also kind of funny.
It's creepy and it's fun.
Yeah.
If it wasn't racist, I think it would be fun. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But it's also creepy.
Yeah.
If
it's a neighbor, it's fine. It's the hiring someone to, like, sneak into your house that's weird.
Yes.
If it's a neighbor, like, leaving your presence and knocking on the door.
I know, but they're basically unrecognizable because the amount of blackface that they wear.
That's what I'm saying. If there wasn't racism and if it was your neighbor, it's fine.
So if it was just, like, your neighbor, Dan.
Yeah. If it was just Dan, let's give him a Dutch name. Opa. If it was just your Opa.
So there is a guild of professional Black Pete impersonators. There are more than 600 registered in Amsterdam alone. Who all get paid to wear blackface. Yeah.
And they demand to be taken seriously.
Another fun tradition is that on Sinterklaas Day, people give each other four-line poems that, like, shit on each other.
Like limericks.
But, like, mean
but
ones.
But mean.
Yeah. And the parents will write poems for their children shitting on them, but from Sinterklaas. Oh, no. And leave them.
We should do that. Why don't we do that?
So they're like, Gerda is full of shit. She always lies about her schoolwork. She's lazy, and I hate her.
Oh, they don't rhyme.
I don't know. I can't rhyme on the spot.
Oh.
And then it's like, love, Sinterklaas, but really it's the parents writing it, and they just, like, leave it there. And I think that's so funny. Oh, another fun quote from this is about the poem. Come December 5th, it'll be there next to the chocolate and presents. A tiny letter from a mythical being letting the kids know how they suck. And here are some of the things that you get from Sinterklaas. Mandarin oranges. Speculoos, which is my dad's favorite food.
Yeah.
How do you pronounce this? Bonkekletter, which is a pastry with almond paste, which is a thing that we have on Christmas because my family is unapologetically the most Dutch people in the world. Or a chocolate letter of your first name, which, as you know, I always get every Christmas.
Yes, I do.
Everybody gets a chocolate letter. Chocolate coins and marzipan.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't realize until I was doing this research how much of the shit that we do, like, carry over.
It's very Dutch, yeah.
When I was little, we all had a pair of clogs. And for a few years...
Did you leave them by the radiator?
For a few years, my dad was like, on December 5th, though, put your shoes out. And we were like, that doesn't make any sense.
And
he was like, it's Dutch. But he wasn't like, there's a slave involved.
No, right.
Because we're Black.
Right.
People who dress as Black Pete do, like, the worst Black... Like, the most intense blackface you've ever seen. Like, worse than minstrel shows.
Yeah.
And then they do a bright red lip, which is worse.
Yeah.
And they wear gold earrings.
Yeah.
And an afro wig. And, as is to be expected, recently people have been like,
hey.
This is not okay.
Yeah.
And then people are like, yes, it is. It's tradition. Or it's soot. And they're like, no.
Right.
We're asking you not to do it. Don't do it. And they're like, go fuck yourselves. Last year, there were a lot of protests at, like, multiple festivals around the Netherlands, and they were met with white supremacists doing Nazi salutes.
This, like, it should surprise me, but it doesn't.
It's like, it's just change it a little bit. So what some...
It's exhausting.
What some people have done is, okay, so some cities and schools have agreed in 2018 to, quote, phase out the blackface. I don't know what that means or what their timeline is or how the implementation of this is going to go. McDonald's in the Netherlands banned employees from dressing up as Black Peter.
That's good, I feel.
Yeah, and the Dutch police announced that they won't allow Zwarte Piet costumes after 2020. They also created another Peter. His name is Schorsteen Piet, or Chimney Piet.
Short Piet.
The other Smurf. Who has soot on his face and I guess wears a different outfit. I don't know what the outfit is.
This is ridiculous.
Like, I don't really know how you fix that. Like, we could just make it people. So that's Sinterklaas and Zwarte Piet. It is racist.
It is racist.
Yeah.
Good work.
Thanks. I learned a lot about my heritage and how racist it is. And now I know why the Dutch people didn't want us to have dual citizenship.
Yeah, that explains it. Do you want to take a break?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yay.
We'll be right back.
On our steamboat.
What sound does a steamboat make?
That's a haunted horn. Elevator.
No. We're back.
Yay. I'm Merry like so Grindus. Excited. I'm bouncing. It feels like Christmas Eve.
Happy Grimbus.
Murray Grindner.
Okay, so for my mystery, I'm doing Krampus.
Yes.
Crampy.
Hold on. Krampus.
So, who is Krampus? Krampus is a half-goat, half-demon, said to be the son of Hel, the Norse god of the dead, who beats naughty children, abducts them, and takes them away to the underworld. Merry Grimbus. And then I wrote, yep, that's me. I guess you're probably wondering how I got here. Well, it all started with pre-Christian Alpine traditions.
And then the opening credits
yes.
start. If you believe, we've got a picture perfect plan.
Wow.
Have I been watching
that
Lizzie
was a
McGuire
deep cut
on Disney Plus?
It's like dodgeballs flying at Krampus. Yeah.
Oh my god. For our next short film, can we take cryptids and insert them into like iconic opening?
Yes. That's a great songs. Idea.
Like Mothman, like whatever happened to driving through
San Francisco,
but, like, giant
the Golden Gate Bridge is collapsing.
So good.
Okay, so Krampus, like Black Pete, is the counterpart to Saint Nicholas, who rewards well-behaved children with presents. In many European countries, including Austria, Bavaria, Croatia, Czech Republic, Hungary, Northern Italy, Slovakia, and Slovenia, December 6th is Nikolaustag, or St. Nicholas Day. So in that part of the world, children leave a shoe or a boot outside their house on the porch the night before. And when they wake up on Nikolaustag, they find that their shoe contains presents if they were good, or a rod if they were bad. I'm assuming like a stick.
They do that with St. Sometimes they do that with Black Pete too. They like leave a stick in there to remind them what they narrowly missed.
Ah. So that's December 6th. December 5th is Krampusnacht.
Oh my god.
Krampusnacht.
That's so much better than Steamboat Day.
Wait. Krampusnacht includes festivals, parades, and Krampuslauf, which is the Krampus Run.
Please tell me you want footage.
Wait, what?
I want footage of Krampus
there's,
Run.
Yeah, we can watch some. The Krampus Run is where young drunken men dress like cosplay style.
Like serious costumes.
Serious cosplay style. dress as the Krampus, and they run through the town terrorizing children and chasing people through the streets. Sometimes they actually will like hit people with their switches. I'll get to that.
I love Grimbus.
So, where did he come from? Wikipedia says, the history of the Krampus figure has been theorized as stretching back to pre-Christian Alpine traditions. In a brief article discussing the figure, published in 1958, Maurice Bruce wrote, There seems to be little doubt as to his true identity, for in no other form is the full regalia of the horned god of the witches so well preserved. The birch, apart from its phallic significance, may have a connection with the initiation rites of certain witch covens,
ooh,
rites which entailed binding and scourging as a form of mock death. The chains could have been introduced in a Christian attempt to bind the devil, but again, that could be a remnant of pagan initiation rites. The Krampus figures persisted, and by the 17th century, Krampus had been incorporated into Christian winter celebrations by pairing him with St. Nicholas.
Okay.
So he is originally from a pagan tradition,
mm-hmm.
and he carries like a bundle of birch sticks, and
so
that's
maybe
what he
this
hits
is
you
also
with.
Why my research told me that Black Peter was stolen from pagan traditions.
Could be. I was thinking that. Yeah, so then in the 17th century, they were like, yeah, Krampus, but also he works with St. Nicholas. And in a lot of old pictures, if you look from 1915, they, like, at some point, the Krampus, they started incorporating chains into his bit.
So
like,
they
he
made
carries
it
them
sexy.
Around. And in some versions, St. Nicholas holds the chains.
That
like
art.
he's bound Krampus.
Okay.
And in some versions, he carries bells. Or has bells on the chains
that
ring when he runs.
Oh, that's worse.
Yeah. So, and then Wikipedia did this thing where it says, in recent years, the myth that the Krampus was the son of hell, Norse goddess of the underworld, has been popularized on the internet, even appearing in articles in National Geographic and Smithsonian Magazine. However, this connection is likely the invention of the American fantasy artist and author Gerald Brom, whose 2012 novel, Krampus the Yule Lord, features Krampus as the main protagonist. Like, yeah. As if that's not real Krampus. Like, real Krampus is not related to the Norse god of the underworld.
This just sounds like fan fiction.
But, yeah, here's the thing. Krampus isn't real. So, like, shut the fuck up.
Doesn't fucking matter.
Doesn't fucking matter. In smaller, more isolated villages, Krampus has other companions and minions.
Six to eight.
Such as the, yes, exactly. Such as the antlered wild man figures. And in some versions, St. Nicholas is nowhere to be seen.
It's,
and I wrote, how horrifying if there's like not even Santa involved. It's just Krampus comes to
then
you.
Then you never get, then it's just like every winter you get hit with a stick or a chain.
Yeah. Can you imagine if you lived in like a tiny alpine town in like Slovenia and there was no Santa, but once a year a fucking goat devil came to your door to like beat you if you weren't good?
That would be really effective.
Krampus's companions are called Schabmanner or Rahen. I wrote, you just get demons for Christmas? This section is called, What's Him Doing? According to legend...
Hey, Krampus! What's him doing?
According to legend, like Santa, Krampus spends Krampusnacht visiting everyone's house. He leaves bundles of sticks for the bad children, or he hits them with the sticks. He might put them in a sack, abduct them, and then throw them into a stream. Or, in some versions, he just takes them directly to hell.
Oh, I'd much rather go to Spain.
I know.
I love that. Okay, so here are your choices, children. Spain, stream,
mm-hmm.
hell.
Right. In some areas, families keep birch sticks in their home year-round as part of the decor to remind children to behave. And the article I took this from said, a reminder to any child who has temporarily forgotten Krampus.
I love the idea that would be
if
like
you temporarily forget
round,
Krampus.
Everyone was Santa was a demon, and they were like, "He's coming."
Yeah. It's like you come home,
you just had piles of coal in the corner of your house all the time.
It's like you're running through the sprinklers, and your mom's like, "John boy, it's dinner time," and you like run in the front door, and then you look to the corner, and it's just like whoa, like zoom in on like a birch stick,
one of those
and you're like,
"Coal zooms,"
yes,
where like
yeah. And you're like, whoa. Yeah. Krampus through the ages. So Krampus was suppressed for many years. The Catholic Church forbade.
Been there, buddy.
Yeah. And oppressed. Someone's got to be oppressed. The Catholic Church forbade celebrating Krampusnacht for a long time. Manufacturers started to commercialize Krampus after 1890 when the Austrian government relinquished control over the nation's postcard production and they started making Krampuskarten, which are Krampus cards, And that's still to this day, like, a big part of the celebration. But instead of sending, I mean, they also send Christmas cards, but they'll just send and give each other, like, Valentine's with Krampus on them.
Can we do that?
Yeah. And, yes. Between 1890 and World War I, German companies sold Krampus cards in Germany, Austria, and other countries with slogans like, Gruß vom Krampus, meaning greetings from Krampus. During World War II, European fascists found Krampus despicable because they considered him a creation of social democrats. Let's read that back.
Yeah, let's do, I need that again.
So between 1934 and 1938, uh-huh. when Austria was under fascist rule,
okay.
Krampus was seen as a symbol of sin, anti-Christian ideals, and social democrats.
I'll take it.
The newspaper of the Austrian Catholic Union called for a Krampus boycott. And the government of Lienz, which is the capital of East Tyrol in northern Italy, forbade Krampus dances and further mandated that all aspiring St. Nicholases must be licensed by the city.
This is very, like, Footloose.
Yes.
But instead right. of dancing, it's Krampus dancing.
Yes.
Also, Krampus 2020, I'm in.
Yeah. Me too. They also pledged to arrest Krampus whenever they saw him. So anyone who was, like, cosplaying as Krampus could be arrested.
I like the idea that it wasn't, they weren't looking for the cosplayers.
No, yeah, they were like, if we see Krampus, him, if we see him.
And then they would find a cosplayer and they'd be like, that's not the real one.
Yeah. They pull off the mask and they're like, damn it, another decoy.
Who are you working for?
There's 6 to 8 of them. I can't tell which. I can't tell which is which. I can't tell which is the real one. It's like the Joker.
I just almost spit all over you.
Though it didn't rise to the level of a ban, in 1953, the head of Vienna's kindergarten system also published a pamphlet calling Krampus an evil man and warning parents that celebrating him could scar their children for life. But because of the social democrat thing, not because of the I mean, that's fair.
Not because they were going to get thrown into a stream.
Right, because here's the thing. They were right, but for the wrong reason. They weren't, like, concerned about the child abuse. They were more concerned about, like, aligning with leftists. So they were like, that could scar your children for life.
I love that.
A little history about Christmas. For most people, especially in the U.S., and this is a quote, before the 1800s, Christmas was not a quiet, a domestic quiet holiday, says Stephen Nissenbaum, author of The Battle for Christmas. It was a holiday that was characterized by boisterous revelry. It was sort of like a combination of Halloween and New Year's Eve and Mardi Gras.
That sounds so fun.
It used to be like everyone just got drunk and ran around the streets and acted a fool, basically.
That's what we do on Christmas.
So Krampus runs and Krampusnacht are actually more traditionally Christmas mm-hmm. than like Christmas.
Than like sitting down to a turkey dinner and like saying what you're thankful for.
Yes.
And like hanging out with your family.
Yes. Also, it is customary to offer a Krampus schnapps, which explains also why Krampen are always drunk.
I'm so sorry.
I think if you give him schnapps, Krampus, he may not beat you if you, yeah.
You give him a schnapps?
Yes.
Can we move?
Yes. but, so one, also, I didn't write this down, I guess, but when they tried to, like, enforce this, like, ban on Krampus, because it's mostly, like, small alpine towns that celebrate Krampus, they were just like, whatever, and just did it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to stop, like, a horde of drunk young men. But,
with chains.
Yes. But I did read, like, in an article, someone quoted a tourist who went, like, in the last 20 years to some small town in, like, Austria. And he said that they, like, do not fuck around with those Krampus runs. Like, you better, like, stay inside your house. He was, like, in some places, like, he was, like, the place they visited, they had to run inside a restaurant to hide, but they watched Krampus, like, tackle people. They watched them sit on a teenager. And he was, like, they really will, like, hit your legs with their sticks.
Canonically, Krampus sit on teenagers.
Yeah. And they will hit, they carry around a bundle of sticks and they will like whip your like your calves with the, as they chase you through
so
the town.
That is so fucking funny.
That also,
sounds really fun.
One article that I read aptly pointed out that Christmas having this like sort of duality mythos is essentially like a micro version of Judgment Day for kids.
Yeah.
And I was like, "Oh, that's so creepy and crazy. It's so true." I mean, even in our version without like a Krampus, representing. Also, I didn't write about this, but because Krampus is like, he has one cloven hoof and one human foot, quote unquote.
Really?
In a lot of old depictions. Although the human foot is like a medieval drawing like of a human foot. Like, so it has like long, curly toes.
How cats have human faces, yes. In the Renaissance.
It has like long, curly like toes with like long, like beastly nails. So it's like a quote unquote human foot. It's not. But he has horns and he's half goat. Like he does very much resemble our understanding of like depictions of Satan. Mm-hmm. And so he kind of in a way like represents Satan. He also is like from the underworld, et cetera, et cetera. But it's just interesting to me that we like indoctrinate our children with this idea of Judgment Day so early. Like if you were not good all year, you won't get Christmas presents.
Yeah, like if you were not good your whole life.
Right. Then you go to hell.
You still die and it doesn't matter.
Right. So it's just kind of interesting. Like, I just thought that was interesting. I was like, wow, that's really creepy and interesting that we do that to kids. I had to wrap up with Krampus and pop culture.
Great.
So the horror film Krampus from 2015, mm-hmm. starring Adam Scott and Toni Collette.
That is not who was in that movie.
That is exactly who was in that movie. This is, I just put in the summary.
Absolutely not. And oh my God, info I'm about so it. Thrilled.
When his dysfunctional family clashes over the holidays, young Max, played by MJ Anthony, gets disillusioned and turns his back on Christmas. Meanwhile, this lack of festive spirit unleashes the wrath of Krampus, a demonic force of ancient evil intent on punishing non-believers. All hell breaks loose as beloved holiday icons take on a monstrous life of their own, laying siege to the fractured family's home and forcing them to fight for one another if they hope to survive.
But it takes place on Christmas?
It's a Christmas horror film, quote unquote.
But it doesn't take place on the 5th of December.
It says he turns his back on Christmas. It doesn't say like what day this takes place. It could be leading up to Christmas.
Maybe we should watch it.
I think we should. The budget was $15 million. Mm-hmm. It grossed $42 million, $725,000. No, yeah, it did. And apparently it's like a cult favorite because it's a kind of a horror comedy.
Oh my God, let's watch it.
It did well, and I think we should watch it. I
love the combo of Adam Scott and Toni Collette.
I do, too. Just to wrap up, I pulled my favorite Amazon review of Krampus.
Yes.
And here's the thing. On Amazon, it has, like, four stars.
Like, 6 to 8 stars.
It has, like, 6 to 8 stars. And it has, like, 2,000 reviews. Like, people like it.
Oh, my God,
so
yes.
So I felt like it made its money so I could read a criticizing mm-hmm. review.
Oh, yeah.
So Joe gave it 2 out of 5 stars. The subject of the review is lots of screaming! Exclamation point. He reviewed this in the United Kingdom on December 26th, which means he watched it on Christmas.
And then waited. He slept on it.
And then wrote this review. He is a verified purchase, by the way.
Okay.
I personally found this very far-fetched and ridiculous. Not scary and atmospheric, just packed with screaming and action. Guess if you like that kind of thing, you'll enjoy it.
Hey, Joe. Merry Grimmas.
Also, like, it's a horror movie. What it's did you think? Action it's and screaming.
It's a horror movie about a fake demon. What do you mean it's like...
A Christmas demon. Yeah. Screaming in action was kind of exactly what I was expecting.
What was the first thing he said in that review? Because
he found it far-fetched and ridiculous.
Far-fetched. Sorry. Are you watching a film about a made-up...
He also watched it 2 years after it came out and then left this review. He watched it in 2017.
Joe, thank you.
So that's my brief history of Krampus.
I loved it. I want to go on a Krampus run.
Yeah. So in the past couple of years, because it's just like become very twee, the U.S. has like become aware of Krampus. And so now Krampus is like out and about. So that's our very mystery Christmas.
Very mystery Christmas.
Next year, we're going to do Jesus.
Don't spoil it.
I think next year we're either going to do Santa or Jesus Christ.
I think Jesus Christ as a mystery. Is the real mystery.
Thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening.
As always, please follow us on Instagram and engage with us via Instagram or email us at mysteryteamincorporated@gmail.com. Our Instagram is mysteryteaminc. And check out our store mm-hmm. with our merch. And please rate and review because that helps us. And Have a very mystery Christmas.
Have a very murdery Grimby.
God solve it, everyone.
Goodbye.
Fuckle the buck up.
Stay in your lane.
We don't know.
Grimness smooches.
What's that? Do you hear that?
What?
I don't know. Nothing, I guess.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.